Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bible, please Psalm with me. Turn with me to Psalm 100. It's easy to find in the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and for thank offering. It was a song when thank offerings were presented before the Lord that they sang this psalm before the Lord. It's an incredible psalm of thanksgiving. It's also a sign of true revival. Amen. When people get a heart filled with gratitude for being saved, they get excited not over some event that takes place, but something that has already happened. They get excited about what Jesus did at the cross. And they get filled with gratitude for the cross. And when they're filled with gratitude for what Jesus has done, amen, the first love is rekindled in the heart. Amen. Revival is not just a power thing. It's all about our relationship with a person. And when we fall in love with Jesus with that first love, fire, and passion, amen, we enjoy serving him. Hallelujah. And people see Christians loving God. And we become like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. It's not your bumper sticker anymore. It's not your lapel pin. Hallelujah. It's your attitude toward life and toward the Lord that people see and they pick up on. They pick up on your peace. They pick up on your joy. Dale, some lady at the hospital picked up on the fact that someone is living on the inside of you. Praise God. Remember that lady? And they're drawn to us. Praise God. Amen. Because the world can't offer that. Only Christ can give those things to you and to me. Praise God. So this is a psalm for that thank offering. Let me tell you something about the thank offering today. The thank offering was not like any of the other offerings. The sin offering was offered when you sinned. Amen. You brought that offering. There was the sin offering for personally when you had committed a sin and you had repented before God and you brought a sin offering to the temple. There are other offerings brought for specific things. But the thank offering, you didn't have to have a specific time and place. There was an offering offered for the whole nation of Israel by the high priest once a year when he went behind the veil to sprinkle the blood of that offering on the mercy seat itself. Amen. Listen, that offering was so vital and so important that if he didn't fulfill his mission, the nation would come under the judgment of God. So they put a rope around him when he went in because you had to go through ceremonial washings. You had to wear ceremonial clothes. Amen. And you had to be pure of heart. You couldn't take sin behind there. So he had to offer an offering for himself before he could go in and offer an offering for the sins of the people. They put bells on the bottom of his priestly garments so they could hear him ministering behind the veil. Amen. Because if those bells stopped for very long, then they would pull that dead guy. They knew that he went in there without preparing himself for that, and he would have been dead behind that veil. It was a serious thing to walk behind the veil, and it's still a serious thing to come into God's holy presence without preparation of our heart. He draws us all to come, but he wants us to come reverently, and he wants to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Praise God. It's not sinless perfection, but it is an attitude of heart that says, I have changed masters. I don't serve the devil anymore. I serve Jesus Christ. I struggle with it. My flesh struggles with it, but my heart is set upon the Lord. Amen. So the thank offering was any time that anyone felt gratitude to God for anything. They didn't have to have an appointed time. It wasn't an appointed offering. They could come at any time to the temple and offer this thank offering before the Lord. And it's something that God highly esteems when it is offered because it is an offering from the heart. It's not part of requirements. Except that God requires that we have be thankful to him. Amen. And he doesn't require it in a way that says, now bring your thank offering. No, he says, that's up to you. Whether you bring it or not is entirely up to you. But if you bring it, I'll bless you for it. Amen. Can you say amen? The whole attitude behind Psalm 50 is thankfulness before the Lord. Because see, they're upset with God because they're going through all of their prescribed offerings. Everything that's prescribed in terms of worship that God had set down, they're going through it. And then God is not answering. God is not manifesting. And they're upset about that. And God tells them about their offerings without that right attitude in their heart in Psalm 50. And he said, if I was hungry. In other words, all this stuff you're bringing to be slain by my prescription. But it's not for me as if I'm a needy God. Can you say, man, if I was hungry, he said, I wouldn't tell you. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. That one that you bring me to offer is not something to sustain me or satisfy me. It's something you do with gratitude. I require an attitude, not just an activity of religion. And that's what happened to the church at Ephesus. They had the right activity, but they didn't have the proper attitude. And he said, I've got something against you. And it must have really shocked their religious self-righteousness when this church that was doctrinally pure was under persecution and standing up under it. Amen. That was biblically sound. And yet Jesus said, if you don't repent, I'm going to come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. You're so good at practicing your religion. If I don't show up, you won't miss me. If I don't manifest, no one will care. Can you say amen? But you're good at your teaching. You're good at your preaching. You're good at standing up and declaring I'm a Christian and letting the chips fall. But I have something against you. What could he possibly have against that model church? He said, you've left your first love. That gratitude that caused you to love him back for loving you is gone. And now it is just the mere practice of a proper and right religion rather than a genuine relationship with God. And God said, this is totally unacceptable. You can offer it all you want, but I don't accept it. You find that in the old covenant. They're bringing their offerings and God isn't accepting them. Why? Because the attitude was wrong. Amen. But he said, if you will correct this in Psalm 50, he said, offer unto the Lord thanksgiving. Amen. And then call upon me. Then call upon me and I will deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. And that Psalm 50 ends up with, to whoever orders his conversation aright, to him will I show the salvation of my God. Can you say amen? You're going to see his deliverance again. You're going to see his healing again. You're going to have his help again. Your countenance is going to change because God is coming through in your life again. Amen. It's going to change everything. Now, if you don't have a relationship with God, I don't expect you to smile about this morning. You have nothing to smile about. All you've got in your life is your sin to comfort you. I'm going to tell you something about your sin. I've been there. I've lived through it. I've been on the other side. Can you say, man? I wouldn't take anything for the Christian life. There's no sin worth his peace. No sin worth his power. No sin worth his joy. No sin worth a relationship with him that death can't even conquer. Can you say, man? Did you know you can walk out of this building, draw your last breath, have an aneurysm and drop to the ground? You don't even have to have a health problem. And all the money in the world can't comfort you. All the sin in the world can't comfort you. But if you have Christ in your life, amen, you can have his peace in the midst of the storm, his peace in the midst of trouble. Hallelujah. What price peace? Listen carefully to this psalm. How many want a thankful heart? A heart just filled and brimming with gratitude. We had a prophecy last week to get ready, prepare for people that will come and be delivered and be set free. Well, I don't know whether to start getting estimates on a building or praise God, but I in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be confirmed. Your wife saw people standing in line trying to get in this little place. There's people that don't hardly bother to come, but I believe God is going to send hungry people here. I believe he's going to send people who want the gospel of Jesus Christ, who want the gospel, who want Jesus, who want to worship him, who want to fall in love with him, who want to grow up and not just practice a dead religious system, even though it's the right system, but love the God that sent his son and love the son that gave his life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And want to serve him. And that first love begins to be rekindled. So listen to this psalm that was sung when thank offerings many times were offered before the Lord. You could come at any time. Let me finish that. You could come at any time. You could just walk up and they say, what offering are you bringing? Say, a thank offering. I was plowing today, and I remembered how my child almost got killed by a bear that in, while we were traveling, and only God delivered, and I prayed and cried out, and the bear turned back. I rescued my child, and I just want to say thanks to the Lord. I was thinking today about last year's crop while I'm planning for this year's crop. And before I even see what this year's crop is going to be, God was so faithful last year. It looked like it wasn't going to rain, but He sent His rain in its season. And the crop was a bumper crop. And I just want to bring Him a thank offering. At whatever time you begin to reflect upon His goodness, His mercy, and His faithfulness, you could bring the thank offering. The priest would say, bring it in. Bring it in. Hallelujah. Anytime is the right time to give thanks unto the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this is one of the psalms that was sung after the time of David when the thank offering was offered. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. There are people who don't like noise here, but they put an take their iPod and put those earplugs in and turn their rock and roll full blast, harming their own hearing. But if you get a little loud in church, it's really bothersome. Can you say it really bugs some people? People have told me about bringing someone here and they said he's too long and he's too loud. Well, the long part I have to agree with. The loud part, if you plan on going to heaven, you better take earplugs.
Amen.
In my Bible, heaven is going to be a loud place. Ain't going to be no place you can go to get away from the high praises of God. Amen. When we stand in His presence, get a full understanding that we really don't belong there in and of ourselves, but through the grace of God and the blood of Christ, amen, we're made worthy for that holy city. We're gonna praise Him throughout all eternity without skipping a beat. Do I have to praise Him every day? No, you don't have to do anything. You're in heaven, friend. Praise God. Amen. Will I want to praise Him every day? Absolutely. Praise God. It'll never get old. Now, don't picture yourself as some fat baby with wings sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. Amen. That might be fun at first when you realize you're not dropping. Amen. But after a while, you won't be a baby at all. You'll be a full, mature son and daughter of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord with a grateful heart. And if it happens right here, it begins. How do you know it's happening? Make a joyful noise before the Lord. Know ye, serve the Lord next with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and call upon His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. It's a mandate to praise and thank God. It's a formula for a grateful heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is an expression of our reaction to God's goodness to us. David put it this way. He said, bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1. O my soul, all that is within me. Everybody say all that's within me. Did you know there's more within you than you probably offer to Him on Sunday morning? There's more within me. If some of you in this room that say you're not emotional, if someone came to your door and gave you $1 million, amen? Suddenly, we would flip on what we got flipped off most of the time. Amen? I've seen people do it over a Maytag washer and dryer. I mean, when you've been going to the laundromat and can't hardly get up enough change to do those clothes, it's costly now to go to the laundromat. Amen? And you know, my son, they didn't have a washer and dryer, and they had to go to the laundromat, and they were taking their gas money to spend on cleaning their clothes. And so my wife and I gave them our washer and dryer. We didn't have a washer and dryer, so we tried to buy a washer and dryer from a friend of Pamela's mother's before she passed away that he had bought from her. And so he gave us a price, and we were glad to get it for that price because they were almost brand new. And when we went to pay him, he refused to take the money. Hallelujah. Just flat out refused to take the money. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's something about just being thankful, giving him praise and doing it from the heart with everything that's within you. David was a stickler for giving God his very best with all that he had. When the ark came back to Israel, David took off his royal garments. He was not indecent, but he did look kind of funny, because to do what he did under the outer royal garments was an undergarment, and he had to take it, pull it up, stick it in his belt. So now he looks like a giant baby, the big diaper on. And then to add to that, he begins to dance before. He's so, grateful. He's so thankful that God's blessing is going to be back upon him and the nation of Israel. Amen. When God's ark is back in the temple, God's blessing is back upon Israel. He said, we've got to respond to this with a gratitude that is beyond just thank you. It's got to go beyond just saying thanks. Amen. And he said, I'm gonna show God how thankful I am. And the Bible said he began to dance before the Lord while holding restraint, not wanting to appear too emotional, not wanting to break protocol with his kingly dignity. No, the Bible said he danced before the Lord with how much? With all of his might. Said to love God with your soul and your mind and your body and your strength. And David said, with every ounce of strength within me, I want God to know how grateful I am for his restored blessings to me and to the kingdom of Israel. Praise God to this kingdom. God is so looking for people today that'll get excited about being saved again. It's hard to convince a gainsaying world that they need Jesus with long faces. Can you say amen? It's very hard to convince anybody of anything. Because if what you got ain't making you happy, why would anyone want what you got? And why would you want to keep it? Can you say, amen? Some of you are holding on to sins that are keeping you from a full life in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the day to lay down the sin. Hallelujah. Take up your cross. Oh, I don't want a cross. Oh, but this cross is different. This is a cross you take up out of love, that you take up out of gratitude, that you seize an opportunity to show him how much he means to you for all he's done at Calvary. When you get that in your heart, following him will be a joy and not a job. Amen. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But the way of the transgressor is, and if you could see your face this morning, you might just want to check yourself out, because it looks like it's a hard life. It's a hard, listen, the way of the transgressor is hard. And don't let the party crowd fool you. One lady had a degree in bartending, and she was written up in the Tampa Tribune because she quit a lucrative job down in the club area of Ybor City. And the reason she quit is very telling. Listen to a preacher tell this is one thing, but listen to a woman who can mix any drink perfectly and graduated, and she's getting all these tips and a great salary. And she's supposed to have an exciting job, bartending. There's a party every night at the club. You know why she gave it up and it was in the Tampa Tribune? She gave it up because she said, I see the same lonely people coming in night after night looking for a one-night stand, but never finding fulfillment, never finding a lasting relationship of true love. I see them coming in, and she said, I see their faces as they walk in the door, and there's no happiness in them. And then when they come in, they put on the smile. They put on the front. They turn the volume up on the laughter. They're going to drink and have a party. But I see them go out and I glimpse them as they walk through the door, maybe with a new partner. And when they get outside and they have that little bit of time of sexual high, and it's over. And what's left? Nothing. Because that person will go to bed with that person next week, and this person with that person. There's no love. There's no commitment. There's nothing like what God has planned. God's word is not to put you in a box. It's to set you free from a prison. Living for Him brings liberty. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. I want you to know that I didn't quit drinking when I got saved. I just changed spouts. The preacher said, I'm still drinking, but I'm drinking from the spout where the glory comes out. And Jesus said, everybody that's thirsty and you're going to the well, to the bar to fill that thirst, amen. He that's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Can you say, amen? He told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was to ask you for a drink, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water and you would never thirst again. Can you say, amen? Enter into his gates with gratitude. Before any activity of worship comes an attitude of thankfulness. And when the church and the Christian loses that attitude of thankfulness for what he's done at the cross, your first love dies. Ingratitude is what kills and snuffs out the first love. You lose that deep gratitude. Remember when you first got saved, you that are saved? Remember how it felt? Oh, Jesus, just the mention of his name. That's all it took to turn on the waterworks or to turn on the praises. Just the mention of his name. I remember when I fell in love with my wife. I loved to write her name, Pamela. Love works that way, makes you goofy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just her name. And I would take an ink pen and maybe write on my hand somewhere, RV plus PP. Pamela Parker. Pamela. Pamela. Oh, what a beautiful name. Amen. Love make you goofy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It makes you goofy. Obviously, you haven't fell into deep love yet. It'll make you goofier. I started to say goofy, but it'll make you goofier. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It will. It always does. And when Christians start acting like they're helplessly, hopelessly in love with Christ, people think we're goofy Christians. We're emotional. Ah, cut you off in traffic and I'll see you get emotional too. You have emotions. And David said, I have emotions and I'm not ashamed of them. He has made me glad. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with an emotion brought on by an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. Isn't it good when you ask a favor of somebody and you don't know what their answer is going to be and they say, well, I'd be glad to. That's what that's all about. I'd be glad to. Brother Venable, would you help me? Saturday, I got something I really need your help with. I'd be glad to. I'd be glad serving with what? Gladness. This is how we do it, but the attitude is thankfulness. Out of gratitude, we serve him with gladness. That's what honors him. The Bible said in Psalm 4, he hath made me glad more than in the time that their corn and their wine did increase. Can you say, man, he has made me glad. And the Bible said the reason for lost blessings in the book of Deuteronomy is because thou servest not the Lord with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things that he has given you. And because they didn't serve him with gladness of heart, they became disobedient. And the Bible said, if you do not hearken unto the voice of their Lord your God to observe and to do what I command you this day, these curses shall come upon you and they shall overtake you. Listen, the curse will find you. Amen. It will find you. It will find you. It will find you. Cursed thou shalt be in the city, and cursed thou shalt be in the field, and cursed shall be the... It just goes on and on and on and on. But blessed is the man that hears, that obeys, that gives heed. These blessings shall come on him. And they shall find him out. And they shall overtake him. Blessed shall he be in the city and in the field, going in and coming out. And the reason for the disobedience was ingratitude. When you lose gratitude, you lose that love for him. When you lose that love for him, even if you're practicing your religion, it's a dead thing in your life. And you can sit in church practicing the right religion with the wrong attitude. You can give with the wrong attitude. The Lord loves what kind of giver? Cheerful. From the heart. Not just dutiful, but cheerful. Hallelujah. Serving with what? With gladness. Because thou servest not the Lord with gladness of heart for all that he has given you. Amen. They fall into disobedience. When they fall into disobedience, God's blessings cannot legitimately come upon them as desperate as they are for them. Can you say amen? So God wants more than just your attendance today and your obedience to the word for fear of the chastisement. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God wants you to, when he speaks to you and say, would you do this for me, Elizabeth? He wants Elizabeth to say, well, Lord, I'd be glad to. I want you to be in my house on Sunday and give me honor. I'd be glad to. I'm going to serve you with the right attitude, not just the right activity. Can you say, man? Gladness. Everybody say gladness of heart. Hallelujah. This is a psalm of thanksgiving before the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's an expression of our reaction to God's goodness to us, like the squeal of delight from a child who opens that big box on Christmas morning. You ever seen a kid open a box and say, "Oh!" Everybody say a squeal of delight. What does a joyful noise sound like? No reflection on the song, but the way we sing it. How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord are built. No. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Gratitude is expressed without worrying about what people think. It's for God. It's to show him, hallelujah, how much we appreciate what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes I holler and people say, well, you know, if he just didn't holler, if he just wasn't so loud, if he didn't preach so long, it's called passion, my friend. It's what if the Bucks ever win a game, it's what their fans would do. Can you say, man? Buck fans have a lot of. Would you think they'd make a joyful noise if the Bucks just absolutely annihilated some? What if the Bucks went to the Super Bowl? And what if they won the Super Bowl? It's been so long. Can you imagine the pandemonium that would break out? And no one would chide them. They'd say, they got a right to do this. I mean, their team, look what our team did. Nobody would say, shh, shh, you're too emotional. No. They're fans. And when their team wins, they shout victory. It's called a joyful noise. And you watch it on TV and see it better, but you can't feel it unless you go to a live game. A live game, when that whole crowd cheers, you feel it. It's hard to sit there and stare. Amen. You want to get up and holler with them. Man, isn't it different in the game when everybody cheers and everybody stands? It makes you want to stand and cheer. When everybody cheers Jesus, it makes me want to stand and cheer too. And even when everybody don't cheer Jesus, it still makes me want to stand and cheer. But can you imagine what would happen in a church if the joyful sound became the constant? Because we're so filled with, not because of something he does, something he's done. There's nothing he'll ever do that can come close to what he's done for you and me at Mount Calvary. That should be the source of our joy. That's why David said, restore unto me. Sin has blotted that out, taken that view and that vision from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let me see your deliverance again. And let me rejoice in you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise. A heart of gratitude shouts for joy. Say it with me. A heart of gratitude shouts for joy. Let me read Psalm 89 real quick and verse 15. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In the light of thy countenance. There's a blessing about that pronounced. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Can you say, man? That's when God is so pleased that he just smiles upon you. Amen. I think James Cleveland used to sing that song. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's so good to me. When God smiles on you, it's the smile of his favor. And when you have God's favor, you have his provision. When you have God's favor, you have his protection. When you have God's favor, can you say, man, he becomes your defender. Glory be to God. The Lord becomes a shield for you. Can you say, man, he becomes your glory and he becomes the lifter of your head. You can't stay down when God is smiling upon you. Can you say, man? So the Lord make his face to shine upon you, smile upon you. Hallelujah. The people that know the joyful sound will walk in his countenance. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. There's a peace in knowing you're right with God. Amen. When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies come to terms with him, thereby be at peace with him. Not because they love him and embrace him necessarily, but because they know God is with him and God is for him. We can't defeat him. We better come to terms with him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would have given up a long time ago. Satan would have sifted me as the wheat, except he lift his countenance upon me. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And I make a joyful noise. I don't always stay on key. Sometimes I go flat, but it's joyful. I've seen people that could hit the note pitch perfect, but they were not joyful. God said the noise I'm looking for is the joyful sound. And happy to be ended are the people who know it. They've recaptured and rediscovered how wonderful it is to be in covenant with a God of love. They shout his praises. They shout his victory. This word joyful sound means the blast of a trumpet in the Hebrew. It also means to shout for joy. Amen. To shout for joy. You won't find this sound in the first church of the refrigerator with a polar bear in the pulpit and ice cubes in the pew. Can you say, man? This shout for joy, this squeal of delight is only heard where there's true appropriation of faith and deep appreciation for his many blessings. Can you say, man? That's what David said, you know. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all of his benefits. He said, what shall I render to God on one occasion for his many blessings unto me? What is the appropriate requisite? What is he looking for? It begins with thanksgiving. Not activity, but attitude. Everybody say attitude. When they brought their offerings with the wrong attitude, God did not accept them, even though the offerings he prescribed and they were obeying to the letter. They were practicing their religion without the right heart attitude. And that's what was wrong at Ephesus. That's why they lost their first love. And he said, if you don't get that right, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to be patient with this. This is so inappropriate to play religion. The world sees through the veneer. They see our lack of joy, our lack of peace, and we're trying to sell them a product that we don't use. Can you say, man, that we don't utilize in our own hearts, in our own life. I'm here to do more than preach the gospel. I'm here to say, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say, man? It's not just what you're taught. It's what you're seeing. Praise God. I love him today. Well, something must have changed, Brother Venable. You've gone through trials and tests. Honey, I love him through the trials. I love him even more when he helps me out of the valley. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Been serving him for 40 years, not because I have everything made just right, but because Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Jesus is faithful. I'm going to make the joyful sound. So if I say, wow! And you say, oh, he embarrassed me today. I finally got my denominational friend to come, and he shows himself. He was so dignified when he opened the service. Look at him now. We ain't going to wait till after midnight neither. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. The world needs to know just how good he is. If you want to know how good and faithful he is, merciful and kind, amen, look at David dancing. Hallelujah. Look at Israel worshiping. David said, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Praise God. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, that shout of joy. Praise God. Listen to the joyful noise in Ezra chapter 3. Listen carefully. 3, verse 10 through 13 as we work toward a closing today. Ezra, chapter 3 in the Old Covenant. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and all the people can I say that again? Thank you. All the people. It isn't blessed is the person, that over emotional, passionate, enthusiastic person. All the covenant children of God. Can you say amen? All of them. Praise God. One of these days, we're going to have a surprise here. We've been praying for revival. It's been prophesied that it's coming. I believe the prophecy because I believe God answers prayer. When it hits us, it's going to be a surprise. It's not going to come in increments. One Sunday. One Sunday. It's going to happen. And how you know it's going to happen? Because all the people will be touched by his power, his person, his grace, his love, his Holy Spirit. And people that have never shouted in their life. Never felt it and said, I don't understand that. They'll understand it on that Sunday. You say, Brother Bumble, I'm afraid I'll make a fool of myself. Honey, when that happens, ain't nobody going to be looking at you. No, they're going to be looking to him. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They're those people that God has filled with such gratitude. They can't contain their appreciation. They praise him with everything they are and everything that they have. And he makes his face to shine upon them. Smile upon them. Praise God. And all the people shouted with a great shout. They praised God because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping for joy. Now I'm going to add that for joy. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. The noise was heard afar off. I'm going to tell you, the devil is noisy. When they're barbecuing at these apartments, open up that case of beer, it gets loud. You can hear it afar off. Amen? Church is subdued. You know why it's subdued? Because the gratitude isn't truly there. We're going through the religious ritual and routine without the real passion for Christ. But when that passion comes, we'll want to shout His name, spread His fame. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When your prayers start getting answered, the Bible said, amen, joy arrives. Joy arrives when God begins to show up and God begins to show out. Joy can't help but rise up. I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full. Can you say, man, what did he speak? Amen. He spoke to them about prayer and getting answers to prayer. There's a joy when God shows up. Listen carefully. I still remember going into a department store in Tampa. Stranger in the parking lot, as I was coming out, said, "Aren't you the pastor of that loud church in Sulphur Springs?" Yes. That's when we were in the Holy Church of God. "Aren't you the pastor of that loud church in Sulphur Springs?" The Bible said the people hear it afar off. He said, "We used to stand outside and listen. They were afraid to come inside, but something captivated them. Something captured them. They stood outside and listened. We thought they were casing our cars for hubcaps. Go run them off. They were listening. Aren't you the pastor?" It made me want to bust my buttons. Yes, I'm the pastor of the people who know the joyful sound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm him. I'm that preacher. Glory be to God. I'm not talking about holy hype or mere human emotion. I'm talking about true spiritual joy from hearts filled with gratitude to God for all that He's done for us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wow. Aren't you the pastor of that loud church? I remember, and I'm going to close with this, but I remember two men. They sat on a bench across the street, catty-cornered from the church. They began their drinking when we began the church service. They started early. They drank all. They sat there with a beer in their hand all day long. And they consumed their cigarettes, drank their beer. And I would be on my way to the church. I'd see them over there. I said, kind of like the Democratic Convention. I don't want it. Over 50% of the people screaming and hollering because they put God and Jerusalem back in the platform. Angry with angst. They didn't want God, but they made a joke of it. One time I went over, I said, "You guys need to come on in and hear the gospel." They said, "Preacher, we hear it every Sunday." Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Hallelujah. They could hear the word of God being preached in power. And for years, they sat on the bench and drank while I came into church and preached. But they heard something coming through the thick walls, and they felt something. They knew something real was happening in that place. It wasn't ritual and routine. Something passionate and powerful was taking place in that place. Hallelujah. One day, I don't even know why I stopped. We all have those times in our life, but I stopped, and I went into the church, and I got right inside, and I forgot what I was there for. And I thought, what am I here for? And I found out real quick what I was there for. Amen. Because a lady drove up and she said, are you Pastor Venable? And I said, that's right. Said, do you remember the men that sat right over here every Sunday? Said, they said to tell you one of them is dying of cancer. Said, he said, would you come and pray for him? And you know the rest of the story, and it's a long story. I'm going to shorten it to say that I led him to Christ and baptized him in bed. God will honor that act of faith. Amen. When I squeezed a towel over him, and not because I believe in sprinkling, but because I couldn't take him to the river. Amen. And we're going to baptize here very soon, as soon as the door opens again. And God baptized some young people that want to come to Christ. My youngest son wants to be baptized in water. And God is moving. He's getting people ready for his soon coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I was able to lead him to Jesus Christ. About 3 or 4 months later, another call come, and the other guy that sat on the bench was dying, and I went to his apartment and led him to Christ, and both of them died a few weeks later, but both of them went to heaven. Both of them got gloriously saved. Can you say amen? It's because we didn't preach the gospel reservedly. We didn't hold it in, turn it into a routine and a ritual. Can you say amen? And some of the people that walked out of that church were living, breathing testimonies to the fact that God is real and gracious, wonderful. Can you say, man? You could see it in their countenance. You could see it in their face. Why would people hang out for 2 hours? Practicing a ritual. Being bored by the routine. No wonder they want church to stop within a gnat's eyebrow of 12. They're bored stiff. But when the heart catches on fire, time stops. Worship is extended. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we better stop right here, because if I try to preach the rest of this, we'll be here all day. And we understand. Have you got something out of this so far? Serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Praise God. Hallelujah. A heart of gratitude serves and worships with gladness. And gladness is something you can see. It's not a mere emotion. It's born out of true devotion in the heart to Christ. And I'm so glad I've learned about the joy of serving Jesus. When I first got saved, it was a job. And I was one of those people that was trying to please God so hard that not only didn't I feel like I ever quite made it, but if I had if I just got angry at work, or at home over something, I felt like I'd failed him so bad. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad I found out that his yoke is easy. That his burden is light. His burden is light. And I look around at people that are not serving Jesus, playing like they're happy when they're really not. And that's why the lady quit her job. Very good paying job, and the tips were extraordinary. Why would she walk away from a job like that in a party atmosphere? Are you kidding me? Why would she said, I couldn't take the depression of watching people come in like this and suddenly get bouncy. Suddenly flip on a false happiness. This is from someone who's not a preacher or a Christian. Just someone that can't take the depression of people who are without God and without hope in this present world. Without true love and a true relationship. Lots of sex, lots of drinking, but no love. No commitment. Nothing that lasts. So they keep coming back again and again, drinking themselves into numbness, trying to find through sex and alcohol or some drug a high that will last, that will lift them and keep them lifted. But nothing ever keeps you lifted. It all lets you down. But Jesus told the woman at the well, I'll give you living water. and you will never thirst again. And it's not just the world that needs this. The church needs another drink from the fountain. Amen. We need our joy back. We need our joy back. We need our joy back. So that our faith can become relevant to a world without hope. Without hope. We're not like others who have no hope. By the way, that hope is part of our gladness, because hope, biblically defined, is the glad anticipation of future good. Amen. I'm not waiting to see certain people saved to rejoice. I'm not waiting to see certain prayers answered to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice for what He's done, and I'm going to rejoice for what He's doing, and I'm going to rejoice for what He's going to do. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm still thankful to be saved. I don't take that for granted. I wouldn't take anything for what the Lord has done in my heart and in my life. Now I'm going to ask you, before we pray for special needs, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior? Anyone in this room, you want to know Him? I'm going to ask a second question today. Is there anyone in this room, you've known Him as your Savior, but you've drifted away, and you want to come home to the Father's house where there's joy, 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 peace, peace, peace. You want to come back to Christ. Could I see your hand? Anyone in this room? Thank God for that hand. Is there anyone else? You want to come back to Jesus Christ today? Thank the Lord for that hand. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to stand to our feet just a moment. We'll rejoice in a moment. Everybody that came to Jesus initially came publicly. We used to say every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't ever say that again. Every head up, every eye wide open. Can you say, man, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and His angels. But if you confess me before men publicly, I will confess you before my Father and His angels. Somebody said, well, my religion is very private. Well, you better take it public. Can you say, man, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. Amen. Brother, would you come? We just want to pray with you today. God is so good. Amen. We're not trying to embarrass, but to embrace today. People coming close to God is such a wonderful thing. People coming back close to God is so powerful. My wife was and I were rejoicing, listening to praise and singing praise on the way to church. But we started praying for someone who's away from God and not concerned. Away from God, that we knew probably wouldn't be here today. And both of us had one word that came into our hearts, and it was danger. How dangerous it is to be out from under His covering. How dangerous it is to be out from under His wings. Amen. How good it is to know the secret place of the Most High, to have His help and His hope in our life. Would you just touch Him on the shoulder, Brother Taylor? Reach your hand this way and let's pray. Father, this young man knows what it is to know You, Father, and he knows what it is to drift, and he doesn't want to drift. He wants to come close to You. Hide him in Your pavilion. Hide him and cover him with the covert of Your wings. Keep him from the evil one and keep him from destruction and deception, Father, in Jesus' name. Hold him close to You, Father. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name and shield him from the enemy. Let him find the true life that You have planned for him, the true purpose in life. Let him know the joyful sound in his own heart in Jesus Christ's name. And for the glory of God, raise up young men, young women that are determined to follow Jesus Christ in this last day and that will lead others to You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God is going to do some wonderful things, amen, in your life today. God bless you for coming. Thank you so much. Let's give him some glory and let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. Amen. Brother, would you come before we... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I make those mistakes. Amen. I'm so lost in the Lord right now. Praise God. I don't even have my glasses on, so y'all help me. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me apologize. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, I want you to know it don't matter about anything else except a heart to come close to God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Praise God. This is wonderful today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And people come of their own free will. Father, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Hallelujah. This is the beginning. This is the beginning when people are drawn to Christ, when people run to the altars, when people want the change to come. This is the beginning of a brand new life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is someone that my brother is standing in for, that without a miracle will not live maybe even throughout the day, let alone the week, unless God intervenes. We're asking for two things. We're asking for God to intervene and to heal, but we're asking also for God to reveal and to save. Above all, to reveal and save, because one day will come when we all have to leave this world and vacate this body. But that's not the end. That's the beginning of eternity. And we want our loved ones and people that are friends and acquaintances, we want them to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And Father, we come against the doctrine of reincarnation. We come against doctrines of devils and demons that tell us that without the blood and without the cross, it'll all work out. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come, number one, and reveal Jesus. Reveal Jesus. Reveal Jesus. Reveal Jesus. Penetrate the darkness of deception and reveal Christ and his saving power. And Father, and then reveal Christ and his healing power. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch this woman today. Go into that hospital room, Holy Spirit. Touch this woman today. Open her blind eyes before you heal her sick body. In Jesus' name, and let her be saved and healed for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, this is our prayer of intercession, Father. And so much is at stake. It's more than life and death. It's where someone spends eternity. Save. And heal. Save and heal. Save and heal. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. I'm looking for a change, brother. And bless my brother, Lord. He's got many battles and many trials. And the devil would love him just to give up and give in and give over. But Father, we're not of them. We're not of them. We're not of them that turn back to perdition, the scripture teaches. We're of them that believe all the way to the saving of the soul. When I prayed for you, amen, I blended my prayers with your mama's prayers. Amen. Your mama's prayers are bottled in golden vials in the presence of God, according to the book of Revelation. And when I prayed for you and called your name before the Lord, I said, I'm putting my prayers in that same bottle, in that same decanter, in that same golden vial. As she prays in heaven, I pray upon the earth, and God answers from on high. And I prayed for your daughter, for your daughter, for your daughter as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Rwanda. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, my children, say, let me keep. Pray for thy loved ones. Sada da bakuria, ye de kiti ili bikito. But surely I've heard thy cry. Give not up, but believe me, trust me, wait upon me, for I'm God.
Praise God. Wait upon me, for I am God. From this day forward, the Lord is going to defend you. The Lord is going to be your shield. The Lord is going to be your buckler. And the changes that you cannot make. There's an Old Testament scripture, and it asks a question. It said, can a leopard change his spots? Well, we know he can't. That's his nature. That's who he is. It's in him. We all have spots. We've all come into this world spotted with Adam's sin. In some form or another, all of us can't change our spots. But we can want and allow God to change us. From the inside out, not from the outside in. And there's a scripture that I tripped on for many years before I came to Jesus. And I didn't know it. I wish I had known it, because I thought I had to change. And I did need change, but I couldn't change myself. And it kept me away from God and from his house and his people. But there was a scripture I didn't get, and it's in John's gospel. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. What I didn't have in myself when he came to live in me, I now possessed in him. Praise God. And he's come to live in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he will change what needs changing. Hallelujah. Can a leopard change his spots? Absolutely not. Can God change the leopard? Yes, he can. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, deliver and set free and break every chain. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. 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 It's so good to walk out of here and be able to say, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is my defender. What a miracle. What a miracle of grace. Praise God. A miracle of grace. A miracle of grace. A miracle of grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that feeling. I've had that before. Praise God. Stretch your hand this way. Let's believe. Amen. The Lord is going to confirm his word here with signs following. Amen. Miracles will occur as we continue to believe God to stretch forth His hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this sick child to be healed this day, this moment, this hour that we are praying. Father, and we pray for our sister right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You will heal her throat. Whatever is causing the food to be uncomfortable to swallow, we command the throat to open and the muscles of the throat to function perfectly, and food today to go down perfectly as You designed it. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, God of wonders, God of miracles, great God, we greatly praise You for this answer today. In Jesus' holy name and for the glory of God, we ask it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Doug's trying to, my son rather, trying to pass a kidney stone. And I've never had one, but people tell me that thing can get your attention with the pain. Cranberry juice and water. The real deal. Father, Lord, we thank You. We praise You. And Lord, we want to see this come on through. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Matthew as he draws closer to You, realizes now in his age and stage of life how much he needs You. Father, that this healing come, that he know the God who answers prayer, and he lean upon You with his life, Father. In the name of Jesus and for the glory of God, let Your healing come today. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a mighty and wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Richard with chest pains, and see the needs. The needs. My dad and I prayed last night, and he said the needs everywhere you turn, everywhere in the building that he lives with a bunch more people. He said everybody needs God to help them so desperately. We all need Him so desperately. Well, this the fact that God is so willing and so wonderful, so powerful. Oh, we want to know the joyful sound when those healings come, when those deliverances come, when His help arrives. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we pray for this man with the heart problems. We pray, Lord, for this dear sister. Father, in Jesus' name, bless Jesse today. Lord, bless him today. He's having chest pain. He realizes, Lord, that he needs Your help today. Father, in the name of Jesus, is this a lady, Jesse? All right, pray for her and for Brother Howard Ritchie. Father, in the name of Jesus, both of them need Your help today. Both of them have pain in their body. Both of them need healing today. In Jesus' name, and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we pray for our sister. Sister Couch just needs a touch from God. Father, touch Sister Couch today. Touch her today. Touch her today. Touch her today. Heal her today. Raise her up today. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You for it. We thank You for it. The joyful sound will come from here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will worship You. We will praise You. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give this song as we leave here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Let's gather around our sister. He is our defender. That's the name of this song today. Let's pray for a cyst in the ovary. And as we pray for the cyst, we always pray for the soul, because He wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. So He never does just the outward thing without addressing the inward. And I believe God is going to do a work in your body, but He's also going to do a work in your soul and in your heart, because that's the kind of God He is. He never does anything in a partial way. Because when Jesus healed even something outwardly, He told them they had been made whole because He addressed something within as well. And I feel I got those Dumbo ears today. And I've heard this voice of God calling people to come to Him, hide in Him, find help in, from Him today. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming. We're not running from You. We're running to You in the name of Jesus Christ today. Father, this is a cyst. This has cells, and the cells are multiplying. Father, we curse those cells right now in the name of Jesus, and we speak death to those cells that are not part of the health of this body, and we command this cyst to shrink and to be shredded into so many fine parts that it's carried out of the body. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. And Father, every chain that would hold this woman back from having the joyful sound in her life, let every chain be broken. Shilaba Roshalana, Sandanabasitana, Salabakitiandanabasatai. Hallelujah. 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 For the glory and honor of God. For the glory and honor of God. For the glory and honor of God the Father. In the name of God the Son. Hallelujah. 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 How many believe that He's pleased with what we're doing right here, right now, today? He's our defender. Let's praise Him before we leave here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.